Welcome once again to Christian Baptist Church at our time of worship today. In your bulletin, there are some announcements that I'd like to draw your attention to. Are we having a party out the front there? All the hubbub, eh? The food pantry, there's a notice in there from the food pantry asking for some volunteers. Very important ministry and mission here in our community. A lot of people cannot make it till the end of the month without some support from the food pantry. So it's a very important thing for us to be involved with. So I draw your attention to that. On the back page, there's a Keynotes Seniors Spring Concert coming up next Saturday, May the 3rd. And next Sunday morning, Tammy will be starting her Christian study over in the annex, starting at 9 o'clock. And just stay tuned to all of the events that are noted there in the bulletin. Next Sunday, we're going to have a little celebration for Rhiannon and Chris after the service. And today, we're going to have a little celebration for Roy after the service. Right here, right there, right there. So let's just gather our thoughts and our hearts.
I'm just going to read a verse from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. It says, "This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God." Heavenly Father, you are our resurrection and life. The promise of your new life in Christ is like a breath of fresh air in this dry and thirsty land. We're gathered here as believers who are seeking the truth. God, who makes all things new, speak to us today. May your truth touch us and refine us as we bring our daily concerns and stresses of this past week. Guide our worship this hour and help us to overflow with your goodness, where we live and proclaim it to those we meet in our daily walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Call on our ushers now to come forward and take up our tithes and offerings. Your blessings towards us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Multiply them, we pray, in our hands for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen.
The light is red, so I don't know. I guess that's telling me not to talk too long. Well, good morning. Hello. Good morning. Are you guys awake this morning? Have you guys ever traveled? You ever gone anywhere? Where have you gone? PEI. Okay. Your cousin's house? Anybody else? Anybody left Canada? Have you left Canada? Where did you go? Switzerland. Oh. Did you go too? Okay. Well, when you travel, what do you have to do? What do you have to show? You have to show this. You have to show this. With it, but apparently I was angry that day. See, you have to show with your picture to prove that you're who you are. See that? I look very angry, don't I? Yes. You have to. You can't smile, and you can't show. You have to show your ears, and you know, and take your glasses off. It's a wonder I could see the camera. See that? Okay. So when you travel, you have to show this, and they put a stamp on it. I got a stamp here. See, they put a stamp on it. See, they put a stamp whenever you go through the airport or whatever. They stamp it to say you're who you are, and we're letting you go. What's this? Homeland Security from the United States said I was okay to go in their country. Okay? In order to get to heaven, what's your passport? What's your passport to get to heaven? We have to accept Jesus in our lives. If you accept Jesus in your lives, you get a passport to that's right, Roy, straight to heaven. Right? Okay? So remember that. That's your, you got to accept Jesus in your life, and you get a, you don't have to have a piece of paper, you don't have to have somebody stamp it, that kind of stuff. You go to heaven. Okay? Remember that. Let's pray before we go downstairs. Dear Jesus, help us as we go downstairs to learn more about you. Amen. Oh, oh, hold it, hold it. There we go.
I want to do a very special presentation today to someone who's been with us for too short a time, and that's Rose Amara. Rose and Amara, can you come up to the front, please? And Cheryl and Abigail and Alicia, can you all come up here, please? So I won't ask you to speak, Cheryl. It's okay. As you know, Rose has been with us now for 8 months. She's our student intern from Tyndale Seminary. She's just wrapping up her MDiv, and she'll be graduating in November, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, after you've completed your missionary internship. Mission, that's right. So she's worked very hard with us, and she's been very, very much a part of the family. She's not going anywhere anytime soon, but there are lots of things going on right now in the, both in the family's lives that we're praying that the Lord will bless them wherever he takes them. So let us pray with them and bless them. Father God, we give you thanks for bringing Rose and Amara and the children into our life and into our family. We pray your blessing upon them, Lord. We pray the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide and direct their paths, to open doors for them for future ministry. Lord, we lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is for you, it's from us. God bless you. Children, you can go downstairs now.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we're still in this season of celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we rejoiced last week at the resurrection. We rejoiced at the baptisms and the testimonies we heard from those who have made their commitment to Jesus Christ and have made a commitment to follow him all the days of their lives. Lord, we ask again that you will fill those who've made fresh commitments this season to follow Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit will descend upon them and guide and direct them and comfort them and strengthen them and give them boldness as they walk in your name. Lord, we pray for those who are sick or unwell in our congregation. Lord, particularly lift up Ruth Pengelly to you, who's taking some time to recover from her cold. Lord, we pray your blessing upon her and on her home. And we lift up to you Nora Curran and Dave, who looks after her. We pray again for peace to be with them both. Lord, we pray for our local congregations and all the pastors and leaders in churches throughout Newmarket. Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, may your name and your word be proclaimed boldly in this town. And Lord, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on our leaders, our mayor, and our council. Lord, we pray you will bless them and give them wisdom and guidance. And Lord, as we rejoice, sometimes unknowingly, in the peace that we have here in Canada, Lord, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world where they are being persecuted for your name, particularly in countries like Pakistan and South Sudan now. Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to guide and protect our brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray that the West will rise up and speak into that situation, those situations, and not be silent. And Lord, again, we give you thanks for Rose and Amara and their presence with us these past 8 months. Lord, we do pray that you will guide and direct them as they seek work in ministry beyond here. We ask you to just guide and direct them and open doors for them. And now while we are still here in this season where we came to the cross last Friday, and we came to celebrate the resurrection last Sunday, each one of us has something on our hearts to share with our Lord. And so in the quietness of your own heart, give him thanks for what he has done in your life. Ask him again to purify you from your sins, from your past, and to strengthen you in your walk. In the quietness of this place now, in your own hearts, be with the Lord. Father God, we ask you to hear our prayers, for we pray them from our hearts, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. We traveled for 6 weeks through the season of Lent, and we journeyed with Jesus to the cross. And on Good Friday, we, with solemnity and seriousness, we came forward and we nailed our past, we nailed our sins to the cross. And we joined together again last Sunday and we celebrated, as we do each year, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And we celebrated also the baptism of 6 of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It was a glorious day. But let's not rush away from that season of celebration too quickly. Let's just dwell in the season of Easter, season of resurrection, the season of new life, and enjoy it and celebrate it. For we should celebrate each and every day of our lives that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have assurance of eternal life. And so we enter each day with that assurance, that joy in our hearts, that bounce in our step, that Jesus has paid it all, and we are redeemed. But what happened after the resurrection? What were the events that took place that day and the days that are following? When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to many people over a period of about 40 days, and there were so many appearances that they just cannot be refuted. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, Jesus was buried. He was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. And most of those are still living when Paul was writing that to the church in Corinth, probably a few years later. Over 500 people. The appearances were so frequent that it became just pointless trying to refute it. There were just too many eyewitnesses to it. And today's reading is about 2 such appearances, and both had specific purposes. Sometimes I think it might be a good idea if we all brought our own Bibles to church so we could sort of mark the pages, put a sticky note in, and sort of go back and refer to that at some other time. So in the weeks going forward, let's bring our own Bibles so then we can actually mark the book up and just make notes of things that we've heard and things we want to study deeper. But in John, we're in John's Gospel now, John chapter 20, it's Resurrection Day. And when we read Scripture, read very specifically the time points that they put in Scripture, because it's very important. And so John writes, on the evening of that first day of the week, so this is Resurrection Day, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you, be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I'm going to just stop there. I'm going to pick up the rest of it from verse 24 in a little while. There are at least 10 scripture references to the appearances of Jesus to the apostles, the disciples, and as I said, to over 500 people. So the fact of the resurrection is not contested. It did take place. It's well documented. And no serious historian ever questions now the authenticity of these texts. Jesus was dead, and Jesus came back to life. And this particular appearance was on the evening of that resurrection day. As John says, on the evening of the first day. On the evening of the first day. Now, the disciples at this point had heard the news. The women had come back from the tomb, but they'd not witnessed it for themselves. The tomb was empty. Mary had actually spoken with Jesus in the garden, but the disciples hadn't witnessed him themselves. And now Jesus came to them very specifically. He just appeared among them. They were behind locked doors. Jesus' resurrection body is no longer bound by time and space and physical barriers. He just appears with them, even though the doors were locked. Now, don't dismiss this. We traveled with Jesus through Lent. We read of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, bodily resurrection, after being dead and in the tomb 4 days. We heard the witness of the man who was born blind. His parents said, "No, he was born blind. How then can you see?" they asked him. So why would this appearing to the disciples be a difficult thing for the King of Kings, for the King of Heaven? It was not a difficult thing. So now this is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He has conquered death. He has dominion over life and death. And now he's demonstrating to all who will listen, who will look, the glory of the resurrected life. But he's dealing with mere humans like you and me. Filled with fear, skeptical, certainly doubtful, not sure what's going on. It's been a horrendous few days. The arrest, the trial, the brutality, the death. And now the first day, Jesus appears, whole, complete, alive, more than alive. So they would be doubtful. So he demonstrates that this is no illusion, it's no apparition. He shows them the wounds on his hands and his sides. And they're overjoyed. Don't quite know what to make of it yet, but they are overjoyed. But it's not just about proving who I am. Jesus is not about that, just proving it. Yes, he's demonstrating it, but he still has a mission. He's still on his mission to the world. And he begins now to give them their commission. He begins by issuing direct instructions to his disciples. And if you like, now he's delegating to his team. He says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father sent me, I am sending you. You need to ponder that for a moment. How did the Father send Jesus? That he's now sending the disciples and us, by inference, into the world. Jesus was sent as the messenger of peace and reconciliation with God. He was sent as a son that had all the identity, the rights, the authority of the Father, who spoke to the world on behalf of the Father. And now Jesus is saying, in like manner, as the Father sent me as a son with authority and power into the world,
I am sending you in like manner. He's passing that on to his followers. You too are a son, daughter, child of God. You have power, you have authority to speak the word of God truthfully and authoritatively into the world and into the lives of people in the world. He's saying, go as I did, go as a son, go with the authority. Go and tell the world of God's grace and God's offer of forgiveness to everyone. Forgiveness of our sins, no matter how far back, how frequent, how many, or how bad, they are all forgiven at the cross. But he doesn't send them out in their human strength and their human wisdom. He breathed on them, it says, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now that expression, breathed on them, only occurs twice in Scripture. It occurs here when the Spirit of God is breathed into the disciples, and it occurred right the way back in Genesis when God breathed life into the humans that he created. So at the one time, life, human life, was breathed into us, and then at this point, the life of the Holy Spirit is breathed into us as well. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And therefore, so the followers of Jesus Christ, all who follow Jesus Christ, the ministers of the church, the people, the followers, anyone who proclaims the gospel has had the Holy Spirit breathed into them by virtue of their faith in Jesus Christ. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have the power and the authority to bring the comfort of God's forgiveness to all who seek to be freed from the bondage of sin. Yes, we the church, we the believers in Jesus Christ, have been commissioned with that authority. The first commission then that Jesus gives to the disciples is to go and tell the world and let them know that their sins have been taken care of at the cross. That is why we preach the cross. That is why the cross is so central to the Christian message. Without the cross, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Without forgiveness of sin, there's no reconciliation with God. Without reconciliation with God, there's no eternal life. So without the cross, there is no eternal life. It is central. So Jesus commissions the disciples. He says, tell them their sins are forgiven. Inasmuch as they come to believe in Jesus Christ, sins are forgiven. It's by faith that our sins are taken care of. By faith in Jesus and his atoning work on the cross, we are redeemed from all our sins. But the opposite is also true. You must also tell them their sins are not forgiven when they reject Jesus Christ. When they do not believe the message of God's peace, when they do not believe the message of God's forgiveness, when they do not receive reconciliation through the cross of Jesus Christ, their sins are not forgiven. It's right there in the text. It's a very hard message. But there is only one way. That is through Jesus Christ. And his way was through the cross. So this same power and authority is passed down to us as followers of Jesus Christ. To go and tell the world that their sins have been forgiven. Tell them that the cross was used to offer the final sacrifice for all people for all time. And in that message, the larger message, if you like, if we invite people to the cross, as we did on Good Friday, as we remembered on Easter Sunday, we are invited to bring our sins to the cross, to nail them there and leave them there, and walk away from our life of sin and enter into eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's God's offer. That's God's outstretched hand to all humanity, to every man and woman on this planet. He reaches out his hand and says, take my hand, come to the cross, leave it there, and enter into eternal life. As the Father has sent me, so I send you as missionaries to the people of the world. Tell them about the cross. Tell them about forgiveness of sins. Bring them to repentance, not to you, but to Him. Tell them they can receive total forgiveness. Now, Jesus did that throughout His ministry. Called people to repentance, called people to believe. And as we know throughout that journey, because we walked that journey with Him, many rejected the Messiah. And Jesus said, in that rejection, your sins remain. You remember at the end of John 9, that great chapter of the man born blind that he received sight? At the very end, Jesus says, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with Him heard Him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. There's two camps in this world. Those who think they've got it all figured out and can see clearly, but they don't see the cross. Their guilt remains. Only those who come to the cross, only those who confess and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have been given eternal life. So those who willfully remain blind to the cross, their sins remain. They remain unforgiven. There's no amount of good works. If you're here today thinking you live a good life and that that's going to do it for you, I'm sorry, that's not the message of Scripture. No amount of good works is going to cover your sins. The cross takes them away for you. Now, this is a significant commission to all followers of Jesus. And He says this as the very first thing He says on the day of His resurrection. Very first thing He says. Go and tell them. Tell the rest of the world. Carry on my mission. I'm going to get into the last passage now, but before I do, I'm going to give you some homework. Read all of the resurrection texts. They're not very long. Read all four Gospels and build yourself a timeline of Jesus' appearances. Now, obviously, He's at the tomb in the morning, and He's on the road to Emmaus in the middle of the day, and He's back here in Jerusalem at night. He moves around on that first day, if you read John and Luke's Gospels. So it's very interesting to draw that on the number of appearances that Jesus made and the messages He was giving. So He appears there on the evening of that first day, but they weren't all there. Thomas was missing. So we're in verse 24 now. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Him, we've seen the Lord. But He said to them, unless I see the nail marks in His hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into His side, I will not believe it. A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then He said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to Him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That would be us. We didn't see the resurrected Lord. They did. And we believe through faith. Now, Jesus knows Thomas. He knew Thomas. He'd been with him for 3 years. And He knows us all. He knows each one of us here today. And who among us at some point have not doubted? At some point in our faith journey, had some doubts. Who among us has not at some time, maybe even for a long time, when we were distant from the Lord, faith went weak, prayer life dropped off, the Bible remained unopened on the shelf. Maybe even walked away completely, made some foolish decisions, entered into a time of complete rebellion, and later found ourselves alone and hurt and afraid. It's more common, actually, than we dare to think, even in the Christian world. But it happens because we're human and because we're frail. We're subject to temptations. We're subject to human doubt. And at times we can be like Thomas and express our doubts very, very boldly. As Thomas did, says, unless I see it, unless I can touch him, I can't believe. Thomas is like many of us, I will not believe unless my conditions are met. And much of the world is like that today. I can't believe in your God because of this, this, and this. Unless my conditions are met, I will not believe. And so many want proof. So many sadly have even lost their faith or will not come to faith because God will not comply with their demands or answer their specific questions. But the Lord loves every one of his children. In 2 Peter 3, we read that wonderful verse, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone, everyone to come to repentance. The Lord is not slow. He's very patient. He's not quick to anger. He's quick to forgive, but he's not quick to anger. He wants everyone to come to repentance. That's why we are here as this church, to bring that message of God's free forgiveness at the cross. Maybe you're still in a season of doubt, but God, trust me, God is still on your case. He's not going to let you go. He'll not abandon you. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you if you have made an expression of faith. He will comfort you, put his arms around your shoulders, and guide you back to faith, back to the cross for repentance and restoration. And so the risen Christ, on the very first day of resurrection, makes a special second visit the week later. He comes immediately on the first day to the disciples, but because Thomas is missing, he comes back a week later when Thomas is going to be present. That's our Lord. He'll come after you. He'll come to where you are and meet you where you are. And Jesus, in his way, repeats back to Thomas, Thomas's very words from a week ago. He knows his very thoughts. He offers his hands and his side for inspection. What a gentle way. And Thomas is convinced immediately, making the declaration, my Lord and my God, a very personal and a very public declaration. Very similar to the testimonies we heard last week from those who were baptized, who made their declaration that Jesus is Lord of their life. So here we see Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, not abandoning Thomas just because he wasn't there that week. Maybe this year you missed Good Friday and Easter. Maybe you didn't get the message, but that's okay. The cross is still there. God's offer of full forgiveness is still there for you and you and you. Each one of us has something to confess. Each one of us at times have doubted. But God will not abandon you to your doubts. He came back specifically for Thomas, showed him the reality of his resurrection, and so he will with you. Jesus does give Thomas that mild rebuke for his lack of faith, for not believing those who had seen him. But in that, I think he speaks to all of us. We have not seen, and yet we believe. We have received the fullness of God's forgiveness, his offer of reconciliation. And so we, with boldness, declare that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let us dwell in this season of the resurrection and allow the resurrected Lord to enter into our lives. As he abides with us, we abide with him. John concludes this message by reminding us that not everything that Jesus did has been recorded. Now, we think there's some remarkable stories in the Gospels and in Acts of the work of Jesus and the work of the early church. But John makes it very clear in verse 30. Jesus did many other miracles, miraculous signs, in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these ones are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the eternal life that's offered. The old life, the invitation is to nail the old life, to crucify the old life at the cross, and to enter into eternal life at the resurrection, allowing Jesus to be resurrected in your heart. So these things in the scriptures, as we read them from week to week, are there for our benefit. They're there to bless us, that we might believe, and having believed, begin to experience eternal life of freedom and joy in Christ. So we need to take stock of this season. Let's not rush through it. Let's remain in the joy and the bliss of the resurrection. Take to heart that Jesus died in full atonement of our sins. There are many people who have got some very dark seasons of their life, maybe many, many years ago. And the older we get, the more we realize that. But Jesus paid it all. He took care of that. Don't let the enemy use that as an anchor to weigh you down. Every sin confessed is forgiven. Jesus now bids us, each one of us, to follow him. All the days of our life, he bids us enter into eternal life with him. And so we need to let him into our life today. Make a recommitment today. Open your heart and receive the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been far away, he is right here and he's ready to show you the way out of your old life and into the new, the exciting, exhilarated, eternal life. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, we know from our reading of Scripture that many doubted, even right at the end. There were people who doubted. And Lord, I'm sure there are among us here even today some who still question, still doubt, and still haven't made that leap of faith. And so, Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power of the resurrection, Lord, you enter into each one of our hearts today. For some for the first time, perhaps, for others in a renewal, in a welcome home. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon each one here. Let us all come alive. Let us enter boldly and confidently into eternal life that you have won for us at the cross and demonstrated for us at the resurrection. Lord, now hear the quiet prayers of those hearts that want to receive you today. If this is the day for you to make that decision, just consider these words. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I am. But I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I open my heart to receive the risen Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Lord, come and lead me into the new life. Lead me into life eternal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. After the benediction, I'm going to ask you to take a seat. We have an event to take place. But as you go from this place today, if you're visiting with us, please come down and join us for a time of celebration today. As you go today, go rejoicing. The Lord is risen. Let him rise in your heart, and let there be a holy bounce in your step, because the Lord loves you, and he died for your sins. Go in peace today. Amen. Please be seated. We have a very special occasion that we're going to celebrate today. One of our members is having his 50th birthday next weekend. And so, Roy, is that you? Is that you? Come on up here, Roy. Yeah, Roy's turning 50 next weekend, May the 3rd, right, Roy? So we're going to sing happy birthday to you, and we've got a big cake downstairs, but we wanted to have everybody here see you blow out the candles here today. So let's sing happy birthday to Roy. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Roy, happy birthday to you. Well, and many more, yeah. So come on downstairs. We've got a big cake downstairs and some coffee and some refreshments. Come on down.